Welcome to Enter the Crucible.
Welcome to episode 11 of Enter the Crucible. I am Mayhew, one of your co-hosts, and today I'm joined with...
Clint.
Carter.
Jeff.
We have a much more intimate podcast
Ooh,
today.
Don't say that.
Oh, yeah.
There's far too many beards surrounding me to hear that.
Feeling a little on the low end right now?
It's going to be the friction episode.
Oh, come on, man.
All the beards.
So, before we get really into it, we have a pre-recorded...
Oh, yeah. Before we get too deep into this podcast.
Clinton and Jeff... Carter's double is definitely...
You're going to hear that a lot.
There's less people to talk for Mayhew now, so yes, use his words.
Man, that was what I was hiding behind this whole time. So we have a quick recap of last episode 9's recap that we recorded.
You sounded confident on that 9
months
there.
Ago.
Yeah.
Because 10 was our qualifier series of episodes, which everybody should go watch all those videos.
Yes.
And
Florida Met is legit.
I don't blame you if you don't.
There's a couple games that are a little questionable. You'll figure it out and by turn 2. Just skip it. And
that's fine. And I totally messed up the audio on one of them. It's it's not
yeah.
Important.
We're professional here.
We're super professional. But we'll get to that recap and we'll come right back. So thanks for joining us for our pre-recorded recap of video 9. The shortest
No. This is rolling right into the show.
Right.
Yeah. This is not pre-recorded.
No.
This is what's going on right now.
Okay.
Live. When they hear it, it will be live.
Matt is still working on a rip horn.
And we're weeks now, and
this
weeks
is it?
Later.
8 weeks
is it
from
November when this is coming out?
<I don't know. laughs> Maybe.
It never actually made it to Gen Con.
Let's hope so. I don't think I can ever podcast again after this.
So we played a game of Lilith 1 versus Vlad 3. So guys, how did you feel about that matchup?
Closer.
Well, it ended okay.
Yeah. I think Mike's like, I needed to go home quickly, so
yeah, I felt fairly confident about the matchup.
Apparently.
I forgot about
really
the spray
confident
on the Hellion.
Yeah.
Defense 17 against most of his guys needing 11s to hit me.
You did ask why that Hellion was there.
That was my favorite part, is you're like, I don't know why you got the Hellion.
No,
apparently it was to end you.
That kind of answers it, but I screwed up my deployment. There were so many hills on the board that I couldn't hide.
Oh, here we go.
Archangel very well.
It's all your fault, Jeff.
No, I mean, it's just there were a lot of hills on the board, and so I can't hide from the Archangel without Windwall. Cast Windwall, and then completely meant to cast Dash instead of Infernal Machine, but out of habit, cast Infernal Machine.
Yeah, we discussed that, too.
Yeah, I mean, just pure habit. I go Infernal Machine. Shit. So meant to have a bunch of stuff in front of my caster just to try to slow down stuff like the charging Dracoon and just move my stuff in the wrong spot.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the board and all the horses bearing down on my Archangel, and I'm just thinking to myself with where my positioning was, it's like I don't think I can protect the Archangel enough without losing most of my army. I have the opportunity, and so I just kind of I went for it. I said, well, I've got a spray, I've got two Lilith shots, and I've got Parasite, and I can maybe swing a Hex Hunter or two. I think we were kind of debating.
Yeah, we measured that. There were two Hex Hunters.
Two Hex Hunter shots
actually would have been in range
to try. Uh-huh. So they would have needed to roll 11s, but with the boosted with the additional die attack rolls, all of those guys were throwing three dice on their attacks, needing tens or nines or tens or 11s. Lilith throwing four dice on the. On the attack roll, just to make sure that Parasite stuck, and then Rolled some good damage rolls too, which kind of swung it too. So it's like made it more palatable to say once Lilith had shot twice, it's like, well, I've already done about 10 damage to this caster. I don't need everything else to hit. I just need to get in there and do some work. And so I went for it.
Yeah, I mean, he did what needed to be done. I thought I was in a good position, unless I got shot off the board, but thought I was in a pretty good position with my cav. We measured out after the game. There was not a lot that threatened the heavy cav, and so next turn, they charge in and just go to town.
Well, and as much as we would want the games to like be long and interesting, I mean, if the assassination presents itself, it would be a disservice not to go for it.
No, I agree.
Turn two's happy.
It shows the threat of P. Lilith, and even without the Macon babies, neither of our lists actually demonstrated what any part of the list we intended to do.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. For future podcasts, I mean, maybe we can throw them back in the mix if there's a need to want to see it in a different matchup.
Yeah, I've got some variants of the Vlad 3 list I'm still trying to play with and try out. Like, there's a Conquest in one of them that I think will help my armor issue.
I've thought about what would be interesting with my list if I could advance deploy the Hex Hunters by attaching Baal. And so there's a variant there.
Baal! Well. Yeah, I think it would be nice to showcase how making babies actually makes babies.
Oh, yeah.
And I really love
it. I still don't know how babies are made.
We'll is your conquest on a horse? Because that would be awesome.
You should get a giant horse for the conquest
or what? I'm not buying a third conquest.
Okay, that's fair.
So, well, welcome back. We have a quick, what are we working on? So, Carter, you have something that you're working on right now?
Yes. I do commissions, so I don't ever paint my own crap. I recently been painting, Quince Gators. So, I knocked out a Wrestler. Bull Snapper, Totem Hunter, and Swamp Roar.
Oh, that's so cool.
I like his scheme, though. He's got the Florida Gator scheme going.
Yes.
So we'll be featuring it at some point. But they're blue and orange gators, and surprisingly, it works out pretty well. The Swamp Roar is painted like a blue ring octopus, which I haven't seen before. So Clint had that idea. It's pretty solid.
I would put it out there. That is the best Florida Gator themed Florida Gator army in Florida.
It probably is.
It's a lot of Florida in one sentence.
Ouch.
It's true. It's one.
Hey, to be fair, I think your painted Gators army has a better record than the real Florida
Gators.
Yes,
it does. Yes, it does.
Even though it's never played.
Exactly. I'm waiting for it to be fully painted.
Can't lose if you don't play.
That's exactly.
Well, I'm working on it, sir.
And the Florida Gators are playing today, and I'm slowly podcasting. That tells you how much I really want to watch this game.
So maybe if somebody can get off their butt and take pictures and post stuff to Facebook, they can see this.
Yeah, like somebody who has access to our Facebook page.
Guys, the only people who post pictures of their own models is me. If you look at the Enter the Crucible Facebook, you'll see my models.
I didn't know I was supposed to put them on there.
Wolverine, Throlg, and
yeah, which got a lot of comments.
I took a picture of all the stuff that was painted already.
Oh, by the way, we have a Facebook. You should probably like it. We occasionally post there cool stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes it's ramblings that I'm doing. Or
I will start posting some of my Menoth and commissioned circle painting stuff from Carter, because it's actually Carter painting most of it. Not all. I'll paint, I'll post what
he paints the stones.
And we
the easy crap.
Great.
I painted one of my black lads.
All the stuff with details and little necklaces and all the bullcrap.
My
Gorax
looks pretty cool.
Oh, your Gorax does look good. I'll give you credit. I was pretty surprised.
I have two Gorexes I have to paint now.
So if you want more random War Machine stuff in your Facebook feed, please like us on Facebook. I also do local event coverage sometimes, mainly from my perspective, because I can't see everything else. I'm just I'm playing this now. Click.
So if you're all interested in the life of Mayhew, Enter the Crucible on Facebook.
I think we've lost likes.
I didn't sign up for this.
I hate this Facebook page.
I did not sign up for this.
We're very glad that Facebook hasn't introduced the unlike or don't like option.
Good.
It's all positivity on Facebook.
Yes, positivity.
There's an unlike option in there. There's just not a I don't like option.
You can stop following things. It can block people. I think
that takes a lot of effort, though, and then people get butthurt because, your real friends are all on the internet.
Yeah. That's where your real friends are.
Yeah, that's where my real friends are.
Okay, we wanted to discuss very briefly the...
Whoa. I'm working on stuff.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Yes.
Yeah, but
who cares?
Really? really.
No, but it's pigs. You're just looking for an excuse to bring up Gunbjorn and no.
This is the Trollisode.
No, it's not. No, I'm working on Dr. Arcadius' theme list, getting it fully painted.
Oh yeah,
yes, it's awesome. They're so cool.
Wait, you said Dr. Arcadius?
Yes, yeah. Dr. Arcadius.
He got a sweet theme for us, man.
I have Gorax's with Shield Guard. What do you got?
I will volunteer to play against that.
Okay,
it's kind of legit, actually.
I beat Elitch with it, so suck it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but who is playing that Elitch?
It was his first time playing Elitch.
Okay. Oh, well.
And Crix probably all together, I think.
Yeah.
So before you know we get too big ahead.
It still was Elitch.
A win's a win.
A win is a W is a W.
Fair enough. I mean, that is pigs beating Elitch in any capacity.
That's why he's a Gators fan.
Exactly. Wait.
Well, then there's no wins.
No, I mean, I got this scheme that it's really quick and easy to paint, and I'm almost done with the tier.
Is there a college theme?
Really?
A team that is themed around pigs?
Yes, the Arkansas Razorbacks. Also in the SEC.
I don't know why I find that funny.
Their chant is suey.
Suey?
Literally. Like, they do that.
All right, so how can you be proud of that?
Ben, are you working on anything in particular?
I was repainting my Scorn, and now I'm slightly working on that. I'm on a commission right now, and I'm probably going to be painting Imperatus. I actually just converted Imperatus.
Who's commission? Are you still doing the Legion?
The Legion for Mike, okay. Yeah. I mean, I've had his...
So who wants really to paint two time. Goraxes? Anybody want to paint two
Jeff's
Goraxes?
Jeff's a master of painting Goraxes. So.
I thought I did a pretty good job with mine.
Not circle Goraxes, though. Oh. Big Goraxes.
Well, did you want to be like orange?
I don't know yet. We'll figure it out.
Jeff, what you should do is you should have him pay you to commission some Goraxes so you can pay Carter to paint some more circle for you.
There you go.
Sounds like
it's
a good idea.
It's the circle of life.
Pay to paint.
So you're doing the Dr. Arcadius theme, and you're almost done with it?
Almost done. I got to do two more piggies, little piggies, razor boars. I got to do a roadhog and then the Goraxes.
Arkansas razor
boars? Pretty much done. Razorbacks.
Oh.
Those are razorbacks.
Sorry.
Razor boars.
What are their team colors?
Their team colors are red and white.
Isn't it more like a maroon?
It's a darker red, but it's not really a maroon.
Your guys are red, too, right? All their fur is red? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fur is red.
There you go. So you got college football teams.
I did not even mean for that one to happen. I meant for the Gator one to happen, but I did not mean for that.
Does that team not suck, unlike your other
No, ones? They're actually worse than the Gators,
oh,
thankfully.
Man.
The one team.
Well, to be fair, it's a good analogy for Minions.
Although, actually, yeah. I don't even know if they're that worse. Yeah.
Gators are not so great. My alum, even less so.
My school sucks.
Go Florida State.
My degree is worth nothing. Because my football team is bad.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works in Gainesville.
Wow.
That's how we feel. It's like, why did I go to this school if we can't even win football games?
Wow.
That's why I went to the University of Florida. Because my parents went there and because
football. Hey, which school was it that like created like fake classes for like 3,500 students to be able to get a high enough GPA to play in sports?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that recent?
Yeah. Last couple weeks, like North Carolina State or something. They created fake classes.
I did. I think it was UNC.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And that's that's a legit university, too.
Not anymore.
Well, it was. All right. I will say, I won't say who it was, but I legitimately did a football player's homework when I was attending the University of Florida. And we won a national championship, two national championships while I was there. So that was because he stroked your beard softly,
isn't it?
You were just doing your part, Glenn.
Air quotes, beard.
He was only a beardling.
So today on Clint's College Football Cliff Notes.
Cliff Notes Caster Corner. We'll analyze the SEC East, which is not nearly as good as the SEC West.
See, this is why people listen to this podcast for the authentic South feel to it.
Yes. We watch football, and we beat people that don't look like us.
except for Carter.
He kind of looks like us.
Oh, and Troy.
Troy does not look like us.
That's also why they come to this podcast, for the racism.
Yes. This is your premier podcast of the South.
We're making all of the very hotly sought after people who play War Machine and live in trailer parks democratic.
Nailing it.
Oh, jeez. We just picked up a whole new demographic.
So back to the War Machine talk.
And lost all the other ones.
We're doing we saw, because it is in beta, and we can go to our local game store and our local PGs can like show us it like it's a crack document or something like that. It's on the secret download, but we have seen 2015 beta, and we want to talk about that just for a quick second.
And if you'd like to see it, we don't really have it in front of us or anything like that, because that would be...
None of us are PGs. None of us have access to the document.
If you want access to it, call up your local PG and say, hey, meet me at the game store. Well, let's play a game and show me how 2015 works.
Mm-hmm. The major changes that I've heard of is that there is only 8 scenarios.
Which is cool. I like it. Less scenarios you got
to
practice.
But do they still have a chart that involves rolling 27 times to figure out which one of the 8?
I don't know, but I would be disappointed if they removed that. That was my favorite part of 2014.
I hated that chart.
My favorite
part
is when we go to the store and we go, hey, what scenario are you going to play? And we always play Incursion because that's just the easiest one to put out. So now we have 1 in 8 scenarios down packed instead of 1 in 12, which is nice.
I gotcha.
So I was able to look at a document with our local PG, Chris Cuevas, who will probably be on our next episode.
Hopefully.
Next
week on, I mean, well, maybe in an hour if he gets here in time.
So there are 5 out of the 8 scenarios actually have objectives. And the objectives change now that the objectives are not tied to a scenario. You can actually choose the objective that you would want to play as part of your army list. So anytime you come across an objective scenario, the friendly objective will be the objective that you've chosen on your army list.
That's pretty dang sweet.
Yes. So what happened was I was talking with this to our local PG, Chris Cuevas, who is awesome. And he showed me all that, and I was like, oh, man, that's really cool. So I can bring light artillery if I wanted to and actually – you know, have it matter because I can choose all the scenarios that I want it in. I want that objective in. I can bring that objective to every scenario that I want to.
The one that gives you an additional damage die, right?
The one that gives you additional damage die. On
light artillery.
No, not... Yeah.
Sunburst.
Yeah, boosted. Curse. Boosted. Mm-hmm. I think it's boosted.
Oh, boosted.
I think it's additional.
Okay.
Anyways, because, you know, Thumper Crews, I just bought 2 of them and I want to play them and blah, blah, blah. But, so he's like, yeah, that's cool. You could do that. And I was like, oh... But it's going to take a whole turn to get the Thumper Crews up, and their range 14 guns not really useful after second turn once they finally get up to the objective. And then I was looking at Gunbjorn's theme force.
Somewhere Pirate Captain is happy right now.
Yes, very happy. Advanced deploy Thumper Crews with Gunbjorn, which doesn't sound like a good thing, except for now he has Highwaymen. So... 2 Highwaymen, 2 Thumper Crews, and then whatever beast loadout I want. And that just sounds so hot.
I think Gunbjorn got a whole book and now can take a light artillery objective every scenario.
Yes.
And he's still the worst caster in Trolls.
Okay, that's not true.
He's awful.
He is...
He's terrible.
It doesn't matter
how bad he actually is.
Okay, yes.
He's just god-awful.
I will agree. It took a whole book and a completely different scenario or steamroller packet for him to be playable. He's now playable.
Gunbjorn.
And one day on this podcast, we will play P. Denny shooting versus Gunbjorn. And I'm challenging Carter to that.
Ooh.
I don't know when.
I don't want to root against my friends, but I kind of want you to lose on camera, Carter.
Of course. If I lose to Gunbjorn, I just have to quit War Machine. It has to happen.
You have to have bigger stakes. You have to have like something on the line.
Like my one of my main hobbies, that's pretty significant. I earn like probably $1,000 worth of crick, so
just
I'm done with this now. It's out.
I think Gunbjorn now is legit.
No, I think that's not big enough stakes for you. Like quitting a hobby, I mean, that's, you know, you have other miniature games. What you should have is you should have to say publicly, like at like a War Machine Weekend or something like that, that Gunbjorn is the best caster in Trolls.
Oh, that's so hard. that does hurt me a little bit.
That would actually hurt you.
I think...
If everybody like, who the hell is this guy?
Best caster in Trolls is a little low. I think he should go best caster in Hordes.
Oh, best caster in Hordes.
Yep.
At Crucible.
Okay, so there are people actually might know who that guy is. So.
Yeah.
At Crucible, you should have to say out loud over a loudspeaker that Clint will actually have there.
Well, I'm going to never lose to Gunbjorn, so I'm not too worried about that, that bet.
Okay, now I have to get Highwaymen when they come out and paint 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds terrible.
Before Crucible.
Before Crucible.
Look forward to a future grudge match podcast. Yeah.
So awful.
So back to 2015 real quick, because we didn't really cover a lot of things. So each objective that you can choose has a buff rule and a defensive rule. Like, for example, the light artillery objective, the buff is light artillery gets boosted damage. But also the...
And it's while within 4 inches, and you don't have to be dominating it, by the way.
And
BTW.
The other aspect of it is you can it has the self-sack rule that was in a couple of the...
All of them have that?
No, just that one.
Oh, just, okay, gotcha.
So, like, there's another one that reduces non-offensive spell costing by one, but it has, if you touch it, you take a power 10.
If you attack it. I think if you hit it with an attack.
It's a plasma nimbus rule.
Yeah, plasma nimbus. That's actually three what it says, plasma nimbus.
Convergence jack. And the other one that stood out to me was the one that gave cover to models within 4 inches.
Yep.
That's strange.
You can be in front of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think the defensive rule was impervious flesh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was. And there's also the your fuel one, where so you can run or charge for free if you're a war beast. And I forgot what the defensive
stick
of that was.
The full list is with your local PG. But
like, yeah, go look at
it. I like the concept of them actually playing around with objectives. You know, it's going to matter now more than it ever has before.
The fact that you can choose them and actually build your list around that is fantastic.
Writing a 4-inch bubble of cover, which is, you know, going to turn out to be a pretty huge swath of the table, is pretty impressive. Especially, I'm playing against Legion. Time to put a 10-inch bubble of cover down, because you got the objective and the 4-inch radius from it.
Well, it's like, what casters that open up as potential Legion drops? It's just like, okay, now that I have guaranteed +4 defense against shooting.
Especially
that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. Since it's impervious flesh, you know, it's the obvious play would be to shoot it off the table to get rid of the cover, but, you know, with impervious flesh, that becomes pretty difficult for just about everybody.
And how does Legion react? Does Legion do, like, more Thagroshes? Do they do,
more
like,
infantry!
That would be so much more fun for the popping drop Krios, because usually the issue is he's easy to kill from range. Mm-hmm. Defense 18? Okay.
I don't know if anybody would, like, straight up change their list because there's a cover objective, but, I mean, it might.
The cool thing about this packet is it opens up a lot more casters.
Yeah,
there's basically one. You know, your caster can get a free focus basically, because
P. Vlad can cast Signs of Importance in Blooded Kings again at the same time.
Ooh,
that's crap! I don't like that at all.
Yeah, stuff like that.
I don't like that. Okay, we need to go back to SR 2014.
No, this is broken.
SR 2014.
But
flashbacks.
It changes up so much stuff.
Yeah.
It really does. It makes a lot more things playable, and maybe some things that were awesome in the meta are very questionable.
I don't know how if it's going to have like a significant impact on how people build their list, but it'll have some sort of impact. Like, I'm actually considering taking like Ozzian and the two armor-piercing light artillery that Rhett have, because now they're always boosted, and on his feet is 4 dice power 6 or 7.
Dude, like the Sunburst crew that I don't even own for Menoth, range 16, POW 16, AoE 4s, that sounds fun. Yeah,
knocking on Heaven's Door, Mr. Troy.
Yeah, his Heaven's Door list got kind of really scary at this point.
Well, with Gunbjorn, Thumper crews are range 18, POW 14, boosted slams, which is fun.
It's like the only question I have
Rat
is like
7.
How the objectives are laid out, how reliable the objectives are, you know.
Sure.
If you could really go into it, could you just have a string of scenarios that doesn't really favor getting
how many scenarios and objectives? 5, you said?
Five out of the 8.
So I mean, you also got to figure you can't build your list just solely around that objective.
And there's
what the other list is for.
And I don't think people should, but there's a possibility to go to a tournament and get all 3 of the non-objective scenarios.
Well, and you know, if it changes up the meta, it's not a bad thing. 2014 did change up the meta too, with medium infantry spam, and that wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just people coming up with Fist of Halak and Meat Mountain. Meat Mountain and Fist of Halak actually got better because of how they squished all the zones together and made them a little bit easier to hold on to, and you couldn't score as many points, so it made grindy lists, like beefy grindy lists,
which is good
viable
because
again.
Never saw them.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
Yeah. And also, the last thing I wanted to mention was Incursion. No flags disappear anymore. But there's also no domination.
No domination. It's all 1 point.
That's weird.
Everything's control one, dominate one.
It's just all three flags.
Yeah. All three flags stay all the time.
Edina gets a little bit sad. Oh,
I hate her.
I know.
So much.
That was her.
Anything that makes Edina sad makes me happy.
Just a little sad. A little bit sadder. Not much.
I'm going to hit Edina with a thumper crew to the face while she's incorporeal.
You think you're
going
to do that?
No, I'm going to.
I don't want it to happen.
Dude. Sunburst crew with Viscothrove and the Honor Guard. You could make it a magical gun.
Explosivo.
Magical gun.
Yeah.
I was looking at Scorn. You can have
Gunbjorn has Explosivo.
Scorn has a light artillery that has D3 power 14 because it's burst fire guns for 2 points each.
No, they don't.
Like,
what about
no,
the ret
2D3 power 14 boosted shots into a heavy?
No.
Islasite and magical.
What about the
6 points?
No.
The ret sniper crew.
Yeah, the because it's like it's either power 6 or power 7.
It's 7
armor piercing.
I think it's 7. But with 3 dice, that's legit.
Ozzyan makes it 4. Ozzyan says, that heavy's minus 2 defense. Now these two artillery are going to shoot 2 4 dice damage armor-piercing shots into you.
Ooh. My thumper crews don't sound as awesome as some of those things.
It's worth considering.
It's worth considering.
I have, like, 1 cost spells with the Witch Coven.
They go to 0. They do not say minimum.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, I'm cycling, like, Infernal Machine around or whatever, but...
It's right. The same with Harmonious Exaltation. It's basically Harmonious Exaltation, except it non-offensive spells.
Oh, wow.
Can Harbinger get to Purification on an essentially free cast at that point?
No.
Minus two.
Can make it a 1-cost spell.
Yeah,
so can
you pull from the rack, so it...
Yeah, it can make it free.
Oh, that's stupid. Yeah. See, that one I don't like. As soon as I saw that one, I said to Chris, I don't like that one. I don't like that one at all.
Well, it's good that it's non-offensive. I was really concerned with, like, Haley doing, like, telekinesis.
How about 1 point Sidian Abysses? Yeah. Or Scavarus casting telekinesis for free?
Ashes to Ashes for 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
Also...
Oh, that means I can cast it 4 times?
Okay.
Well,
when Deathjack casts a spell, he uses
times.
His focus, right?
Yeah.
He might actually get that.
The Empower?
I think so.
Maybe, but, The non-offensive spell limit might not be so crazy, but
yeah. So I'll be very curious in what that looks like if it actually passed through beta, and you know we'll see how it works out. You know, it's a lot of testing. This is the first draft of the beta document.
Yeah,
it's
far away from
2.5 to 3 months before the actual document drops. So
sure.
What that
it didn't change
is.
Much last year though.
Yeah. Well, I think they've learned some lessons, and they want to keep certain aspects of it.
No, but I mean, I'm sorry. The beta from 2014 to the actual 2014 didn't change much.
That's true.
But this is a huge revamp.
Kind of, because the scenarios are essentially the same.
Well, there's one that's different as far as objective placement and those kind of things. But the whole objectives things, like, that's got to be balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
They have to balance that. And I think you can really exploit the system with those.
Well, I mean, it's like in 2014, the objectives weren't even considered. It's like, oh, there's a firepower objective. I don't even know if I'm going to get it, so I'm not going to build
it. Yeah, I don't think that ever came up in any tournament game.
We specifically put Ender's Crucible video around it.
Yeah.
That one time, but
yeah,
that was fun.
He's like, I want to bring Mortar Crews. Okay, we'll give you that scenario.
It's good in that scenario.
It is really good. And they are a lot better now.
That tier might become much better if you know you're going to get the firepower scenario.
I don't think it's worth it if you can't advance deploy, though, in my opinion.
It's possible.
But I'm sure there's plenty of tiers that let you advance deploy.
Yeah, and also if you go first, too, it's not so bad.
Also, it might make Razorback crews worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Pretty crap.
No.
Okay, so let's get on to the matchup. We have Jeff's KO1. The interesting list that he's been playing around with these days.
It's Kaya.
Kaya 1 versus...
It's not Kador.
Kador versus Clint's Jarl. Jarl.
Jarl.
Jarl.
You had it right the first time.
Yef Jarl.
Yef Jarl.
This hurts.
So it's Yef versus Yef Jarl.
It's Jarl versus Yef Jarl.
I don't know. We probably apologized multiple times now for Mayhew's ability to...
Enunciate?
Yes. I don't know if it's ever going to be enough.
So, Jeff,
it's always enough for me.
talk to us about that warlock that you're playing that I'm not going to pronounce the name of.
Yeah, the army that I own that apparently I never play. I've been playing my circle stuff for, what, month and a half, 2 months, I guess? I brought it to a couple tournaments, brought it to the first Crucible qualifier. And I've been playing a Prime K-List and an Epic Kruger list, which I'm probably going to switch around the next time. But the Prime K-List that will be on video today is obviously Kaya, a Druid Wilder, a Stalker, Gorax, a Feral Warpwolf, two Black Clad Wayfarers, two sets of Shifting Stones, one with a Keeper, Tharn Blood Trackers with Nuala, a full unit of Skinwalkers in the Alpha, and a unit of Swamp Gobber Bellows crew. It's just been fun to play. I don't necessarily think it's overly competitive. I think it's something that people don't usually expect Circle to bring, because in our meta, it's Morvana 3, or Morvana 2, yeah. Cro-Mag,
Kruger 2,
and
Cassius a little bit.
Cassius a little bit, and that's like it. I mean, you don't.
I haven't played against Cassius, but I play against Kruger 2 every friggin' time.
Troll player.
Yeah, you don't see most. You don't see Mosar. You don't see Prime Kruger, which surprises me actually. He's kind of insane. You don't see a lot of the stuff that I like to think around that are fun. I mean, a Boulder. I mean, Bradagus seems like it could be fun. I'm just not a big fan of the stones, but. This list is just fun, I mean, mainly because I can throw Occultation on anything, having Skinwalker Stealth, having the Stalker Prowl for Stealth with the Swamp Gobbers 5-inch Cloud, having New Island the Hunter's Stealth. I can have 3/4 of my entire army Stealth up the board quickly, and double shifting a Stalker and a Feral around, killing even
always
just a couple. Yeah, always good. Just even just killing a couple models and then Spirit Dooring it back. And what a lot of... I missed it the first time when I read the rules on it. When you Spirit Door, you don't have to Spirit Door something back to Kaya. You Spirit Door a model in her battle group to within 2 inches of another model in her battle group. So you can move them anywhere. And it's so much fun.
It's the fact that you can always do it as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Unlike Kaya 2, you only have your feet.
Right. You have that one decent Alpha Strike setup that you're looking for all the time. With this... it's just hit and run.
Yeah, between stones, the Sprint Animus, the Spirit Door, and the fact that when her feet, she can suck Fury back off her beasts and Spirit Door up to what? Technically four times. I mean, granted, that's never going to happen, especially if you only have three beasts, but it's annoying. It's a really annoying list to just pin down. I think it struggles with scenario play a little bit.
Yes.
But that's what you added the Skinwalkers in there for.
Yeah, with the loss of the Blood Trackers, which was sadness.
Yeah, originally you were playing with Blood Trackers.
Blood Pack, which are fantastic, but what I recognized in the first games that I was playing is that I had nothing that could stand in a zone, stand into an objective, and hang there. And to be honest, I mean, the best armor that we have is actually Skinwalkers when they're in melee combat.
Yeah.
Armor 18 with 8 boxes apiece.
If you're not talking stones.
Yeah, well,
and
yes.
Before the Deathwalkers come out, too.
Your stones are immortal, impenetrable.
Yes. In the games that we have, I hope that continues today.
Oh, gosh. Not the last game we played.
P-Grim shot at a stone every turn for 4 turns and could not kill 1 stone.
Well, maybe P-Grim sucks, too.
Yeah, he's terrible.
I'm just kidding. No, he terrifies me.
Well, I mean, I think
what, you have a control feat, too?
I think KO1 is one of the ones that just is, like, dropped by the wayside, because Circle has plenty of other competitive Warlocks, obviously.
Yes.
And you even have, like, the KO2 tier or outer tier and stuff like that. It has its own power level, and we're not advocating that KO1 is, like, tier 1 competitive Circle Warlock.
Because she's not.
No. But she's fun, and she has, like, lots of different options available to her.
Yeah, and that's really what I'd like, if I get the option to show, is because I think there's probably people out there that have played against Circle that have played only against a couple Warcasters and don't know what she can do. And I think it's interesting for people to see, you know, when you double shift a Stalker from one side of the table to the other, and he berserks and kills 3 or 4 troll models or whatever, or heavy infantry that are got Defender's Ward, and he just rips through.
I don't have a lot of trolls in this list.
Right. and he just rips through them at Mad 8, POW 18, or more.
He's base mat 6?
He's base mat 6.
Don't forget she gives...
Any beast in her battle group that's in her control area gets +2 to their attack rolls, which makes the Stalkers mat 7, makes the Feral mat 9. It's awesome.
And she also has Fury Management with Soothing Song.
What?
She also has Fury Management with the Soothing Song.
With Soothing Song, which I very rarely have to cast. And then even...
You got a Wilder, too,
yes,
which helps.
Yes, and even Spirit Fang is nice, dropping something defense and speed that can shut down another heavy. It's a shame I don't have an Arc Node in the list, because that would be kind of cool with that.
Spirit Fang drops down.
Too bad I don't have any heavies in this list. Ha-ha! It
drops on speed, too.
Sucker.
And it's 2 speed and defense.
That's impressive.
Wait a minute. I got to look it up now, because I don't get to use it all that much. I'm too busy managing Fury on beasts.
Well, while you're looking that up, why...
Yeah, -2 speed and defense for a round.
For, is it living or just anything?
Anybody. Damaged. Model damaged.
Jeez, that's amazing.
Range 10, pile 12, so you could get a lot of use out of that. I mean...
She can go forward and Spirit Door herself backwards, right?
Yes, she could.
So
She could move forward, cast that on... Wow, actually, she could move that, cast that on 2 models, and then Spirit Door back or Stone back, feat that turn, get 6 more focus, Spirit Door 2 more times. Mm-hmm. She can do a lot. I really think that she can.
Yeah, and I think that her, with the tools that she has and she brings to the table, there's all sorts of things you can do with her, like Moonhounds having access to Spirit Door if you want to build like a more shooty list out of her, or... all those various things. I mean, like, you can have jumping back and forth Druid Blacklads with the Rotterhorn. That is also blowing up and then popping back to her.
Yeah, Quick and Chicken.
Yeah.
Just jumping forward, shrieking, and then not dying because you're Spirit Dooring it back.
Yeah, I'm looking for ways for that to work, too, because the Quick and Chicken with 2 Blacklads could just be funny.
It looks fun as hell. I mean...
Yeah, I think Kaya's not an obvious powerful Warlock. Compared to like maybe Morgana 2 or Krieger 2, but the options she gives you on the table, she gives you more movement shenanigans in Turkle, which is always fun because they already have a lot as is. So I think with careful placement of your models, careful playing, she can become a very frustrating Warlock to play against, because I've seen Jeff just tear through an army with a single Stalker just because he's Spirit Dooring it back every time and carefully placing it with stones and that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, most of my games have actually ended with like Kaya and both heavies alive and nothing else.
Yeah. Why'd you go the Feral instead of like a second Stalker?
Partially points, but with the movement that she has, he's probably one of the heaviest hitters that we have. If I need to, because he also got options for warping for strength or armor. He warps for strength and you primal him. He's an 18, 19, 19. And that's just, if you don't have like Arcane Shield or something on like a Colossal, he can almost kill it.
Is he the one that's base mat 7?
Yes. Ugh. He's the only base mat 7.
So stupid.
So he becomes a 9?
Without non-character base mat 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a mat 9. I've double shifted and killed. Actually, in the tournament a week ago, double shifted it on top of Helga, the Feral, at mat 9. Didn't need to boost a hit and just wrecked her.
Have you seen the fluff for Helga?
Yes.
In the new book?
Carver's
like, I need some kids, and they ain't nobody worth having my babies, except for that chick over there.
And she's coming from the point of like, well, I have to be very careful or I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Literally screwed.
Yeah.
It's probably better for her if she does get screwed, literally, than figuratively.
Pigs can have like 12 kids, 12 babies.
Well, they're pigs, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so, thanks for that conversation.
I don't know how Pharaoh works.
So, Jarl, how's he working out?
Jarl.
Jarl. The Devil of Thornwood?
The list that we like really
the Devil of Thornwood.
Deeply dojoed.
Yes,
last time
we did.
That we recorded. That is I'm
that
sure
was
pretty
like,
fresh in everybody's mind.
I feel like
our own.
That was just yesterday.
Like 2 months ago.
So yeah,
6 weeks ago was when the episode was released.
Jarl Skuld, Devil of the Thornwood. Are we going over all his stats and stuff?
No, just do what you want
to
do.
Just like kind of what he does. I mean, we've done this enough to go through like the the base stats. As long as we don't miss anything off his card, I'm happy.
Okay, cool. Well, look at his card. Get War Room, buy War Room, get all your crap, and look at his card. He is a shooty dude. He's got Gunfighter. He's got Pathfinder. He has two pistols, which is... This is the big thing about him. Two pistols, range 12, POW 12, magical weapons. He can... The best thing about his guns is he can magic bullet himself, mm-hmm. which is where you hit a dude.
And he has Black Penny, so you'd be like...
And he has Black Penny, so he can shoot into combat with... And ignoring melee penalty.
Yeah, he's just going to wear down four people a turn, basically.
Yeah, basically, he can kill four dudes a turn.
If he can see him.
It's something you don't expect from trolls, which is, I can snipe out that solo, which is annoying. Especially when you're trying to run Alara.
Yes. Yeah, that was... Yes. Actually, the NIS did that.
Yeah. I had nothing for them.
Magic Bullet. Friendly faction next normal ranged attack directly hits. After resolving the attack, choose a model within 4 inches of the model hit. That chosen model suffers, not roll to hit or anything, just does, unboostable POW 12 magic damage roll.
And that's certainly, to me at least, his signature ability is Magic Bullet.
That was one of the things that I got fresh. One of the few times I'm like, screw you, Pirate Captain. Pirate Captain's like, Magic Bullet's not cool anymore. You can't boost it. Screw you, Pirate Captain.
POW 12 is fine on squishy stuff.
POW 12 that just hits like random things that it's really hard to judge.
You're clearing out charge lanes. You're clearing out solos, support stuff, choir, whatever it is. You're just killing it.
Well, it was like, I played against Epic Kane a couple times when I had like a Retcaster. And I have to, like, measure my controller and make sure I'm not within 4 inches of anything because, like, random POW 12, it's not going to kill you, but it'll cause some damage.
Two
random POW 12s.
That's
fine. Next turn, here's two more random POW 12s. All right, next turn, here's two more random
POW 12s. Yeah, you can't. When you're facing against Jarl, and I don't know why I'm giving tech away, don't be near an objective. Don't be near a low defense jack. That's kind of like the first thing I do is, okay, all right, who's next to that jack? Nothing I want to kill. Okay, who's next to that objective? Nothing I want to kill.
Well, the problem is it's 4 inches. It's like you could put yourself in a situation like, and I can't used move to, stuff out of the way to not be within 4 inches.
The great part is I'm used to measuring 4 inches, so I've got it.
And with the range 12 of the pistols, and you can put Far Strike on him, he's tooling around at range 16. Yeah, that's... Not getting past that.
Yes, so he has three more spells, and they're all basically movement shenanigans. Quicken, which friendly model unit gets +2 speed, +2 defense against ranged magic attack rolls.
It's friendly, so you put it on.
And wait,
speed.
Wait. Yeah. Tactical Supremacy. You can advance up to 3 inches after all models have ended their activations. And Wield Secrets. Model unit gains Camouflage and Pathfinder. Now, what I was going to say is that all three of those spells are friendly. So... The list has a bunch of minions in it, which I'm digging.
You're playing a Signar list where very little of your actual list is.
We don't say that word here.
Wait, that's a Signar caster?
This is trolls. We are our own person. Kind of. Yeah. No, he's not a Signar caster.
There's a guy with two pistols and magic bullet, and he's building an army that's mostly minions.
Minions, not mercs. Actually,
a couple of
Mr. Mercs.
Yeah.
Dang it.
So you're just playing Troll Kane too.
And then I want to play Gunbjorn, which is like Siege, kind of.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so his feet...
Cough, kind of.
His feet is a little weird. It's placed D3 plus 3, 4-inch AoE clouds anywhere completely in this model's control area. These AoEs do not block friendly faction models' line of sight. While in the AoE, friendly faction models can advance through terrain and obstacles without penalty and can advance through obstructions and friendly models if they have enough movement to move completely past them. While in the AoE, living enemy models suffer -2 to attack rolls. Rolling fog lasts for one round. So, it's random, which I don't like in feats, but it's cool.
I mean, you're getting 4 4-inch AoEs at the worst, which is still pretty significant.
Yeah, that's it's not terrible. It's like, for the longest time I had it in my
the longest time?
Yeah, the longest time.
The longest time.
Dark Tran's not here.
That it was 3-inch AoEs. And like when I saw like a battle report, I was like, wait a minute, they're 4-inch AoEs?
It's not a bad feat. It's just kind of
It's got a
wonky.
Lot of utility, I think. It does a lot of different things, and none of those things are usually fantastic, but the fact that you can kind of add them up, like if you're coming against a shooting army that can't see through clouds, you can cloud wall your army for a turn, the critical turn before you start smashing into their lines, or you can use it as more super defensive. You can cloud wall your army, stop charges, and anything that does get there is -2 to hit if it's living. That's a big deal.
Yeah,
especially with Quicken and stuff on the board.
Granted, and you use it. You melee, use it different. It's. It seemed like you use the feet differently in every game. Yeah. Every unit. Every caster you play against, you play it differently.
If you jam your own lines, you can feet to. You know, oh, I messed up my placement. Feet. Don't care. Move like, through my own stuff.
This unit charges. Jarl activate goes up feet. The other unit charges through it. I mean, that's my favorite aspect of martial discipline. Our abilities like that, which is the layer. Boom. Next charge right through the other ones.
I mean, trying to hit Nis at defense 17, 19 if they've got the Quicken on them.
Wait, you have Nis Hunters in the list?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Maybe.
That's annoying, man.
Yeah, it can be a good feat. A little bit. So the list is Jarl, Runebear, Storm Troll, Impaler. That's the battle group. Impaler is very obvious. Why? And Storm Troll is very, well, it's not very obvious, but I like the Storm Troll because it's another beast, another piece in the game, in this list that can hit stuff without having to hit it.
Which we have long gone over my absolute love of the Storm Troll.
Yeah, it's great.
The fact that you can leap off of things and boost damage is stupid.
There's a Thralg in here for upkeep removal or... Yes, he's painted like Wolverine.
Always lives.
I didn't mean for it to happen, but it did. Feralgeist, because I needed 1 point, and I had plenty of clouds already, so I didn't take the Swamp Gabbas.
You will live to regret that.
And this is where it kind of gets interesting. Gatorman Posse, Sons of Bragg, Boom Howlers, and Nis Hunters.
That's a crazy combination of stuff.
It's a lot of Weapon Masters, too, surprisingly.
Oh, yeah. The Nis, I guess. Weapon Masters.
Bragg and Nis.
Gatorman Posse, because they're Gators. Oh, did I say the Witch Doctor? I have a Witch Doctor as well.
Yeah.
I was going for anti-Krix, so I was, you know, zombify a unit, the Totem Hunter gets rid of, the Thrall gets rid of whatever, the Totem Hunter goes for Blood Hags, Tartarus, you know, all that stuff. Posse, because they're Gators, and they're painted really cool, so I'm putting them in the list.
It should be kind of hard to excarnate off that army, because Boom Howler's at 4 plus tough, plus Gatorman, plus Undead, Zombie-ness.
True.
Should require a little bit of resources at the very least. True.
True. But if you get one bile throw off, it's going to suck.
It always does.
Sons of Bragg, because I had 6 points left and I didn't want to put in. It was either Slag Troll or Sons of Bragg, and that turns out to be a pretty easy choice when you already have two beasts. And they're also somewhat painted. Boom Howlers, because they're really cool with Quicken. And they're really
faster.
They're really good targets to shoot in the back to get a magic bullet wherever you want, because your Bane Thralls may be stealthed, but my Boom Howlers are not, and my Boom Howlers have 4 plus tough. And then the Nis, because the Nis are sweet. So
yeah, that's a lot of guns, too, just out of everywhere. And what's cool, with the Boom Howlers and the Nis, you have two units that are decent range and decent melee ability, too. So.
Yeah.
We got double utility.
Yeah,
it's a very versatile army.
I like it. I mean, you don't have power 15 Gators, but you have power 13 Gators.
No, I don't have power 15 Gators, but I do have power 13 Gators that can threaten. Mm-hmm.
A few with that army.
10, 12, 14 inches.
Yeah, that was
with
like
Quicken
in the test game that we did where I like ran Mage General Infiltrators forward. I'm like, aha. I went first, and you're like, okay, cool. I'm going to cast Quicken on them. They're going to charge me on your first turn.
My first turn, Gators charge. And get there.
Yeah.
Not just, all of them, but some of them.
It doesn't seem like you have any heavy hitters aside from maybe Bragg, so that's the only weakness of the army I can see.
Bonus, you're not going to need that against Circle.
Exactly.
I know, right? So it's not a bad matchup.
You don't really need heavy hitters against Krix most of the time. You don't really need heavy hitters against...
It's like Kraken hits a table.
Yeah, unless you crack.
Well, then I'm screwed. And I did play that game, and it was lots of suck. I did get Scar down to 1 point of health, but then I couldn't do anything else.
Oh.
I
would say I'm sorry, but I'm not.
No, it's okay. It's a Kraken in my face. And it was like, throw the Boom Howlers at it until I can get as many shots into Scar as possible.
Bad plan?
No, just rolling 4 up tufts going, I'm still here, I'm still here. Maybe. Yeah.
Because the Blood Hag doesn't survive against Jarl that long.
No, Blood Hag wasn't there. I mean, the Blood Hag was dead. I don't even know if she was in that list. I don't remember.
Doesn't matter.
It was a long time ago.
Magic Bullet.
Magic Bullet, fun. I'm trying to just think of why I put everything in here. Nis Hunters because they shoot well. Boomhowlers because they jam well. Brag because Sons of Brag because they hit hard. And they have a sweet spray.
And a pinch too, like, you know, combined shots to power 20 on something. Mm-hmm. Power That's 9 true. Weapon Master is generally not that great, but hey, you can spike.
Sons of Brag get to POW 14 Weapon Masters.
Which isn't bad, especially if you've, like, against...
POW 12 with the other guys. One guy gets a POW 14.
War Machine list that only has, like, one heavy on it if you're just constantly concentrating on it and
That's putting true.
CRAs into it, and then you have your Sons of Brag.
Well, we played against... you and I played a couple days ago, and you had... Who you had?
I had Imperatus, but she was...
No, you had... But you had Ron. You're playing Ron, right?
Ron, yeah.
Yeah. And you had Imperatus, and I'm like, as soon as you dropped him, I was like, oh, no. This is going to be terrible. I can't kill Imperatus with this list. And then
Armor 18.
Then I was like, who's that? At Armor 18 that comes back from the dead, blah, 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 blah. But then I was like, who's that? Is that Alara? He's like, yeah. Like, who is Alara controlling? Imperatus? And I was like, I think I can win this game. Sweet. Nice. Especially when you always had to be 8 inches behind Imperatus.
So pro tip, Alara running Imperatus is not that great against somebody who can snipe out solos.
I did...
I don't think I'd put a 12-point jack on a 3-point journeyman just cuts.
Yeah,
it was free focus. I was trying something out. It was experimental.
the problem
experiments
was...
Experiments fail, Mayhew.
The problem
fail.
The Nis were on one side all by themselves, and they did a combined range in Alara, just not needing double ones. Mm-hmm. Whatever I could... I think it was 7 dudes.
And your feed is really relevant when I don't have, like... Strike force that
That's
can
true.
Shoot through your clouds. Or...
That's true. So, against the matchups where that you should take it in, it can be good. If you take it against anything with high armor, you are stupid.
Like
so
basically,
or list locked.
It's just kind of a skew.
It's a skew. It really is a skew. It's a speed and shooty skew.
This was your, like, it's one of your answers to Crick's. Basically.
Yeah, I was which now I think is Gunbjorn, but we'll see.
No. It's not Gunbjorn.
It's totally Gunbjorn. Oh,
Gunbjorn.
My
He's
gosh.
He's never the right answer. He's never the right
Please,
answer.
Please, Highwaymen,
right
come out.
Right before they start the never. Tournament named after you, you're going to be standing on a podium saying, I, John Carter, present this tournament, and Gunbjorn is the best caster in Hordes.
Nope. Never going to happen.
Yep. As he's licking my feet.
Whoa. Where'd that come from?
Gunbjorn.
Not agreeing to those terms.
Look, we don't need your fantasies leaking out into the podcast.
Sorry.
No, we don't.
Sorry.
I mean, it's already awkward when you hang out in the fun castle.
Sorry, guys. Forgot my pants at home.
So what else we got?
I believe that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
So join us next week for the video of episode 11.
Kaya via
Jarl.